Well, as we continue our series through the book of Hebrews, this morning we come to chapter 11, verses 8 through 22. But before we read God's word, let's look to him in prayer. Father, we thank you that we can gather as your church, called by you, saved and redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you have revealed yourself through your word. And Father, as your word is read and proclaimed, I pray that you would send forth your Holy Spirit, that you would give us understanding. Would you be with the one who speaks, that your word would be expounded faithfully, and that your people would be edified, all to the honor and glory of your holy name. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. All right, well, if you have your Bibles, beginning in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Well, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. Well, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Well, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac shall your offspring be named." He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Now, by faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. Now, by faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. And by faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. May the Lord bless the reading of his holy, true, and infallible word. Well, this beloved chapter of faith in the book of Hebrews began in verse 1, describing for us the certainty of faith. The author of Hebrews describes faith as the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And last week we looked at three brief vignettes of Abel and Enoch and Noah, and observing how this certainty of their faith led them to demonstrate their faith through actions in their lives. Well, in this next section, the author of Hebrews turns to the patriarchs, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, focusing primarily on Abraham as he continues to show how this certainty of faith is demonstrated in the lives of these early believers. And so it becomes clear that their faith was sustained by looking off to the future, to the things that are hoped for. And in verses 8 through 10, we see that faith looked to the future city, whose designer and builder was God. In verse 11 and 12, we see that faith looked to future descendants, whom God had promised. And in verses 13 to 16, we see that faith looked to the future home with God in the heavenly country. And finally, in verses 17 through 22, we see that faith looked to the future resurrection. All this brings about the main point, which comes primarily from verse 13 of our text, that faith looks to the future, greeting the consummation or the fulfillment of God's promises from afar. And so may that serve as a brief outline of where we're going this morning. And so verse 8 in our text begins by recalling the original call of Abraham. This was a huge moment in the history of redemption as God in his sovereign grace called out one man from the scattered nations, blessed him, and promised to provide him descendants and land through which the whole world would be blessed. This culminated, as we know today, in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the far-off descendant of Abraham, through whom the world finds salvation. But it's important to remember the power and the gracious nature of God's effectual call. You know, before God called Abraham, he was an idolater. He was not seeking God at all. And in fact, in Joshua chapter 24, verse 2, it reminds us that Abraham and his family served other gods. However, what we read in back in Genesis 12 is that God had come to Abraham, not the other way around. Abraham was not seeking the Lord. God sought Abraham out and came to him. And by God's grace, at 75 years old, Abraham stopped worshiping false gods and turned to serve and worship the one true God. So look, even for a 75-year-old person, there is great hope that God's call is powerful and it can radically change your life. And so as God called him in faith and in obedience, Abraham left his homeland, his father, all of his extended family members, with the exception of Lot, his appeared-to-be adopted nephew, who went with him. And then he set off for the place that God would show him and that he would receive as an inheritance. And as our text points out today, at that point, Abraham did not know where he was going and where God was leading him. But he went. He believed God. And by faith, he obeyed. He certainly had his ups and downs in the school of faith, as we saw as we studied the life of Abraham last fall. However, Abraham was a man who wholeheartedly trusted the Lord. Well, in verse 9, the author of Hebrews reminds us that throughout his life, though Abraham was in the land of promise, he was not yet an owner of it. Instead, he, along with his son and grandson, Isaac and Jacob, lived in tents. Think about that. That is, a tent is a temporary dwelling as opposed to a permanent dwelling. And they lived there in the land of promise as if in a foreign land. And as Abraham traveled throughout the land, as he observed these fortified cities that existed and seeing their towering walls, looking at their strong foundations that he knew would one day belong to his descendants, at that same time, his eyes were on a better city. And verse 10 tells us that his eyes were on the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. And so that was the city that Abraham's heart and faith was set upon. By faith, he knew that that was his ultimate destination. His hope was not set on the temporary things of this world, but on that which is permanent and that which is eternal. And so think about that. What a radical change happened in the life of Abraham, the man who once served other gods. And so that is, again, a picture of the power of God's effectual call in our lives. Well, in a similar fashion, all of God's people have been effectually called. The Bible tells us that no one seeks God, that all have turned aside from Him. And apart from God's gracious intervention in our lives, we would all continue in our sin and in our unbelief. However, it is by God's grace, as well as by the gift of faith that He gives us, that we acknowledge our sin and idolatry, that we repent, that we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith. So at conversion, the entire trajectory of our lives changes. Our goals, our priorities, our allegiances change. You know, though we certainly can enjoy the things of this world, they are no longer our priority. Like Abraham, we live as foreigners, strangers, exiles in this land, temporary living here with our faith set on that city whose designer and builder is God. And so this brings us to our first point this morning, that by faith in Jesus, we obey as we look forward to our inheritance with God. You know, by looking forward in faith to what lies ahead, we live as citizens of God's kingdom, though we live like that here and now. By God's grace, we strive to obey His commands, which we've just had the summary of God's law read to us and exposited earlier in this service. And so the point that I believe is being made here is that looking forward in faith to what lies ahead, that is what encourages us to be obedient now in the present. Well, the next example of faith in the life of Abraham looks to his wife, Sarah. From our previous study of the life of Abraham, we're familiar with Sarah's story. It was impossible for her to have a baby. She had been barren her whole life. Not only that, at this point in her life, she had gone through menopause. She was a 90-year-old woman. And perhaps you recall in Genesis chapter 18 when her faith faltered as she initially laughed in unbelief at the promise that in 1 year from that moment, she was going to be holding in her arms an infant child that she had given birth to. And so just as a brief side note, you know, isn't it nice to know that God's people of old did not have perfect faith? They stumbled and they fell in their faith. However, what we see is they get back up again. That failure of faith was not the last word on their life. And so that's encouraging to us as we too struggle and falter in our faith. Because the good news that can encourage all of us today is that even a tiny little speck of faith is still faith. And God can redeem you even with that tiny speck of faith. So be encouraged this morning. And so after Sarah's failure of faith, we know that she repented and trusted wholeheartedly in God's promises because verse 11 tells us that she considered him faithful who had promised. We're not told that at what point this happened. However, her faith enabled her to look to the future and to trust that God will fulfill His promises. And so by God's grace and through faith, we're told in verse 11 that Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age. In other words, God supernaturally intervened, causing a miraculous birth in the body of this 90-year-old woman. Only God can do the impossible. And though this was a unique occurrence in the history of redemption, as God was paving the way for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, in a similar way, just like Sarah did, God provides his people with the power to do everything that he has called us to do. He does this through the work of the Holy Spirit. Most of the time, it's not done in a miraculous nature, but God uses the ordinary means to provide us the power that we need to do all that he has called us. And so the question for us all to ponder this morning is, in that moment, do I consider him faithful who promised? Do I believe that God is going to provide me exactly what I need in that moment to continue walking in his will and serving and obeying and glorifying him? And so even when you may feel like you're in an impossible situation, do you trust that God is going to provide you with the power to endure perhaps persecution with a loving disposition, or that God's going to provide you with the power to commit to forgive that person who hurt you so deeply, or that God is going to provide you the power to endure grief at the loss of a spouse or a loved one, or perhaps that God will provide you the power to exercise self-control rather than blowing up in anger at a child or at a spouse, perhaps even at a clerk at a grocery store, or even as you're typing on your keyboard or on your phone of posting some rude and obnoxious response to some post on social media that you would never say to anyone's face in person. Do you trust that in those moments, God provides you the power you need to do what is in his will, to do what he has called you to do? Well, in verse 12, the author of Hebrews reminds us of the incredible vastness of the promise that he made to Abraham and Sarah, which they believed concerning descendants, and that promise which is even still being fulfilled in our day. He states, therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven and as many as the innumerable grains of sand on the seashore. As the author of Hebrews is writing this, he is looking back through history saying, God's promise has been fulfilled. Look at it. Look at the countless descendants of Abraham. Look at all those Gentiles who are being enfolded into the church, becoming the descendants of Abraham by faith. Look at how God has fulfilled this promise. And you, believer, this morning, you are one of those stars in the heavens, one of those grains of sand on the seashore. As we remember from Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, it says, and if you are Christ's, you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. So think about that far off promise, even back as far as Genesis chapter 3, when God promised there was going to be a redeemer, a seed of the woman who was going to crush the head of the serpent. And that was fulfilled ultimately in the Lord Jesus Christ, who on the cross defeated Satan and sin and death. And by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we too are grafted into that family of Abraham, heirs of the same promises that were given to him. And so just like Abraham was looking to that far off city whose designer and builder was God, that too by faith is our city. Just as Abraham and Sarah believed the promise that they were going to have innumerable descendants, we too are part of those descendants. And there will be a day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, when we will gather with all of God's people, all of the spiritual descendants of Abraham, and we will fellowship together. And so this brings us to our second point, that by faith in Jesus, we trust, looking forward to gathering with all of God's people. You know, think about that. Even right now, we are spiritually united with all of those who have faith in Christ. And yes, we still struggle with sin. The church is not perfect yet, but there will come a day when Christ returns and everything will be made perfect. And all of God's people will dwell together with Christ forever. And so as we look forward to that day, we can trust God for the power for everything we need right now to walk according to his will. And next in our passage with verses 13 through 16, we come to the main point of this future looking faith. Before he can even finish his examples of the faith of the patriarchs, kind of inserted right into the middle of this passage, as if almost in utter excitement, the preacher of Hebrews blurts out, "These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar." And though these words can certainly refer to all of God's people, because none of us have yet received all of God's promises. They have not yet consummated in their fulfillment. We have some of them now. We certainly have more than what Abraham had. But when the author of Hebrews is writing this, he is referring primarily to the patriarchs, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And he's making the point that each of these, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they all received the promise from God of innumerable descendants. Yet when these men died, they had but a few kids and grandkids. Yet at the same time, each of these three patriarchs received the promise from God of land. This will be the land that I will give to you. But when they died, aside from a small little burial plot, they did not own any of that land. Instead, they lived there in tents, as if in a foreign land. They considered themselves strangers and exiles on earth. But don't miss the point of what the author of Hebrews is trying to drive home. These all died in faith. They continued to trust in God to the very end of their lives, to their very last breath. When they died, they had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his promise coming, and in the promises of God that would be fulfilled. And since they considered themselves strangers and exiles on the earth, and especially since they didn't return back to their homeland from where God had originally called Abraham, the author of Hebrews shows that this proves that they indeed were seeking another homeland, a better country, a heavenly one. And so they desired the homeland that God was preparing for them. And so with their faith rooted in the future fulfillment of all of these promises, these patriarchs did not shrink back in unbelief, but rather they continued to press forward, to persevere in their faith to the very end. And this brings us to our third point, that by faith in Jesus, we persevere as we look forward to our heavenly homeland. And just like the patriarchs, we too long for our heavenly homeland. By looking forward in faith to what lies ahead, we too will persevere to our very last breath. And listen to these comforting words from Jesus that were spoken to discouraged and weary and fearful disciples. He says in John 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you also may be." Those who belong to Jesus will never fall away. By God's grace, he will enable you to persevere to the very end with faith. You know, though we may stumble like saints of old and even have periods of our life where it doesn't even appear that we are walking with God, by God's grace, he will not let anything snatch you out of his hand, but he will preserve you. You will come back to repentance. You will persevere in your faith. So that is a word of encouragement. And so with one final example of faith from Abraham's life, the author of Hebrews reminds us of the well-known episode when, to test Abraham, God commanded him to sacrifice his son Isaac, the very son of the promise. As Genesis 21, verse 12, had already God had already promised Abraham that it was through Isaac that your offspring would be named. In other words, it's through Isaac that all of these promises will eventually come to fulfillment. And so there was this question looming, aside from the morality of what God had asked him to do, if he was to sacrifice his son Isaac, how would the promises of God ever come to fulfillment? If Isaac was dead, what would be of the promises? And so Abraham was faced with this great test. Was he going to walk forward in faith, trusting God? Or was he going to think that he knows better and go off in his own direction and decide that he knows what's best? And so the account in Genesis 22 tells us that Abraham obeyed immediately. Abraham knew that nothing was impossible for God. I mean, just remember how many years ago when Isaac was born, he knew that God can do the impossible, that God had miraculously caused his son Isaac to be born. So surely, if God is calling me to offer him up as a sacrifice, well then, God can bring him back to life. I'm going to trust God and move forward in obedience to his revealed word. And so in that moment, Abraham was in the act of offering up his son. He had made a commitment. He was going to move forward, and the angel of the Lord intervened and stopped him. And so for that reason, the author of Hebrews says, well, figuratively speaking, he did receive his son back from the dead. And so Abraham's faith was marked by a complete and unwavering obedience. His faith was tested, and it was proved to be genuine, to be complete. And this testing certainly was not for God's benefit. There was no question in God's mind where Abraham's faith laid. Rather, this testing was for Abraham's benefit. And this brings us to our fourth point, By faith in Jesus, we endure testing as we look forward to our completion in Christ. One thing is certain in this life is that you will have your faith tested. And again, just like for Abraham's sake, the testing of your faith is not for God's benefit. It's not for God to, you know, peek behind the veil to see what really lies there. God knows everything. Rather, this testing is for your benefit as a believer. Because it's through times of testing that God grows and he strengthens our faith. In fact, the book of James, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, tell us what this testing produces in our life. It says, "For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." That is the goal of the testing of our faith, that our faith would be shown to be made complete. And so only by faith in Jesus will we come through this period of testing with faith stronger and more mature and more complete than it was prior to the testing. And therefore, we can endure this testing as we look forward in faith to what we know is going to be the final result, that we will be made complete in Christ. God has promised that if he has begun a work in you, he will bring it to completion. And so that gives us courage and strength in those times of testing. Well, the author Hebrews concludes this brief summary of patriarchal faith by highlighting various acts of faith in the lives of Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. The point of all this is to emphasize once again that these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but yet they were looking forward to them, greeting them from afar. And so to those who are struggling in their faith, to those who are tempted to shrink back in unbelief, the point is that your faith is sustained, it is nourished, it is strengthened by looking to that certain future that we know is going to happen, that all of God's promises will be fulfilled, because all of God's promises are yes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you for this great cloud of witnesses that have gone before us and the faith that is exhibited in their lives. Lord, thank you that you are the one who gives us faith. Would you strengthen our faith? Would you increase our faith? Especially as we come to the table in a few moments, Lord, may you give us refreshment as we commune with our Savior. Lord, we thank you for your grace. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.